Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is a special show. It's a pep talk. And everybody loves the pep talk. And we're going to be talking specifically about stroke. Literally, like 750,000 people a year have a stroke. And most of them never recover. Two-thirds of them never go back to work. Insurance companies put something called therapy caps on treating stroke because they feel like, you're never going to get better, so we're not going to spend a lot of money chasing dreams. But that may all be changing right now. My guest today is going to be Dr. Suzanne Turner from VineMedical.com. And she's actually had some great success working with people who have had strokes using peptides and some other things in her protocol. We'll talk all about that. Today is February 21st, 2020. Those of you listening to the show 100 years from now, these protocols are probably commonplace by then. Everybody's doing this. You're going to be like, oh my God, they talked about that all the way back in 2020. Amazing. We have to thank our title sponsor, Legendary Foods, makers of the Tasty Pastry. It's a Pop-Tart without the guilt. Less than 1 gram of sugar, 9 grams of protein. 9 grams of protein, high quality protein, high leucine protein. And if you go to eatlegendary.com, you can learn more about them. If you go to superhumanradio.net, if you click one of those banner ads, you're going to be taken to a list where you can get on the waiting list. That's how popular they are. They can't make them fast enough. But while you're at their website, buy some nut butters. I love the Cinnabon blueberry cashew butter. I eat it with a spoon. I finished a jar last night. You won't be disappointed. Eatlegendary.com. Check them out. Without further delay, if I can work the controls. My brain isn't working well today, Dr. Turner, because I donated a large amount of red blood yesterday, red blood cells. Huh. I definitely feel something, but we'll see. Let's see how I get through the show. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Stroke is a big problem, and there really is very little. In fact, I have a good friend, Curtis, who used to be at the gym all the time, who suffered a stroke a couple years ago, and he's hardly at the gym anymore. I'm sure that he feels. I think when people have strokes, they lose all hope because very few people ever recover from strokes. Would you agree with that statement?
That's true. And it's the hardest part is when they get to be about 9 months in and they're not seeing improvement or progress. Now we're talking about they're getting less and less encouraged by the day. And it seems to take longer to get any progress or see anything improved. That's the tough part is when they get to that 9 months to a year and they're now at an anniversary where they're saying, oh gosh, I don't think things are going to get better.
It's very sad. So for those who don't understand what a stroke is, right? Doctors call it ischemia reperfusion. It's basically blood vessels bursting, right?
So it can happen one of two ways. It can either be because of blood flow increase. So the blood vessel ruptures, or it can be because of a blood clot that occurs typically from the heart through the arteries to the brain, and they can cause problems, blockage of blood flow, and now you have an area of what we call ischemia.
So we're basically talking about a rapid acute cessation of oxygen, and then all of a sudden a bunch of oxygen coming in shortly thereafter. Isn't that what the whole ischemia reperfusion phenomenon means?
You got it. So there's the two phase part. So the initial part is we've lost all blood flow. And then the second part is now as the blood comes back into the area, as we begin to reperfuse, now we create a second
injury.
Problem.
Yeah, an injury.
Exactly. And even the inflammatory process that occurs in attempt to heal the injury, the initial injury, can create its own problems because the cells begin to produce inflammatory chemicals that signal other cells beside them to become. So even if a tissue wasn't initially involved in the original insult, now all of a sudden the tissue around it can become involved because of the inflammatory chemicals that the immune cells that are trying to heal the injured tissue coming in there begin to spew out immune chemicals that are toxic, inflammatory.
And in the past, this area, like on the picture, it's a really great picture. I got lucky and found this in a royal tree.
Yeah.
I know. So over time, that red spot will disappear because that's fresh blood, but also it will be replaced by dark gray withered tissue, which becomes the what is considered necrotic tissue in the brain. This is non-functioning, and the best you can hope for at that point in time is that recollateralization of nerves go around the damaged area and try to fix themselves, but that's a real hard thing for them to do without any nudging and help, right?
Exactly. Yeah, this will heal up and it becomes a fibrotic scar, gliosis. Again, the inflammatory cells come in there, create this scar because they can't really reproduce the cells that were there. And so they create this fibrosis or scarring that we call gliosis because it's in the brain, and they get this, non-functioning tissue.
So the first question on most people's minds is the therapy that we're going to talk about today. How long or how long after the stroke can we still see results? In other words, there may be people out there that, they're 9 months in, happened 2 years ago. Their doctor said 2 years ago, this is it. This is the best you're going to see. Is there hope for them 2 years later?
So we don't exactly know is the answer to the question. There aren't any large scale studies with this. But what I can tell you from my own experience is I've had patients have some response even as far out as 3 years post-stroke.
So the ideal thing is to do this pretty quickly on. Now, what if and really the best thing would be to perhaps is it wise to add this to the standard of care, or should you just do this instead? What we're going to talk about today.
Most of these patients will be in the hospital. So in a perfect world, you would have a doctor with a great working relationship with a hospitalist or an intensivist who would allow you to do some interventions with these patients. They don't often end up staying in the hospital very long because truly the standard of care is putting them on future preventive therapies and then sending them out to see their primary care, which is why it tends to fall in the laps of people like me, which is why we are interested or have ever learned about doing things like this. So then they come back in the office. We actually have an IV room in our office. And so we can do some of these things in the IV room here, treating people as soon as days out from their surgery, from their stroke, from their incident.
That's got to be the best condition, that best situation when you get them that quickly, yeah. Right?
It's also better the younger the patient is because they tend to respond better. Not 100%. Obviously, someone who's healthy like you probably would respond well or quicker. And someone who's already optimized their body in general, hormonally or physically, metabolically is already optimized, they're going to respond better than somebody who's not. All those circumstances apply. If you're already putting good fuel in your system, you're probably going to do better in general. If you're nutritionally optimized so that you're not missing all the things that those things like peptides need to heal.
Yeah. Could you imagine if the population if the majority of the population did do those things lifelong, ate right, observed proper sleep hygiene and patterns, trained, exercised, moved more, could you imagine the healthcare wouldn't be the burden that it's proving to be right now?
Truly, truly. That's true. The tough part is even getting people to do, I've had so much success lately just with patients recommending them for simple things like Weight Watchers,
yeah.
Because it's on your phone, it's right there. It's accountability. It alerts you when you're not paying attention to it. Even if I can get patients to just start moving, it makes such a difference. I'll drop on the floor and show them exercises they can do at home in their, in their living room without any equipment or
During the commercial, I used to say this, start where you are, do what you can. If all you can do is stand during the commercials of your favorite shows, then start with that.
Right.
That's it.
Stand right now.
So talk about your protocol. So let's say someone comes to you. They look, now I just had a stroke last week. Someone told me about you. What's the protocol look like? What do you do first when they walk in?
Of course, you have to explain that peptides are experimental. We've got lots of good research out there, some human trials. You have to tell them what we're dealing with. You know, these are made in FDA-approved facilities, at least the ones I prescribe. They need to be prescribed by a trained physician who knows what they're doing, and they need to be prescribed from a compounding pharmacy that knows what they're doing, that is FDA-approved.
I want to speak to that for a second. So there's a wonderful phenomenon going on in the United States today. And it's called peptides.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a very dangerous phenomenon going on in the United States today. And it's called peptides. And why I say that is this. I see people giving advice about peptides to people who have real disease states. Because they're repeating what they heard on a podcast like this and or other podcasts. And there's some very reckless ones out there. Yeah, there's this rush to try to be the first one to talk about something. And we have to be careful today. Even me, I'm very cautious not to recommend what people do for their therapeutic approaches. And I probably am endowed with enough information to get some of it right. So we have to be careful. Embrace peptides. Be part of the joyous celebration of this new therapy that we have. But please, 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 don't think because you've listened to these podcasts or even read studies that you are equipped to tell people what doses to use and how often to use, because they have to be supervised. Peptides are new. We're finding out that some people don't respond well to LL37. In fact, their roseola, rosacea, whatever you call it, gets worse. So send them to doctors like Dr. Turner so that they work with somebody who knows what to look for to identify whether this is the right path or not. I'm sorry to go off on that. But it's really exciting right now, but there's a lot of recklessness out there too.
Well, even something that seems as benign as CJC apomorelin can be problematic if you're treating someone who has autoimmune disease. That you can trigger them to get their mitochondria functioning too rapidly, and now you're creating a monster instead of improving their life and improving their health. You're making everything worse, and so starting with lots of other things before you get to that. So that's why you have to have somebody who, and even, you know, I'm learning and growing and reading every single day and as much as I can get my hands on, and calling people that are, you know, better at treating this than that all the time. So to think that you can, there are lots of ways for you to learn. So go get the education, go do the training courses. They're out there.
Yeah, that's why they call it practicing medicine.
Right.
We're perpetual students if you're paying attention. Mm-hmm. Okay, so talk about the protocols. What do you do with these people? What kind of blood work do you do first, and then where do you go second after that?
Well, if there's a possibility, we can, you know, if there's a reason why the patient had this to begin with, obviously if we have a known some atrial fibrillation, obviously you're going to try to look for why does this patient have atrial fibrillation? And that can be as simple as drinking too much alcohol or being, you know, too much sugar. So you're going to, if you have a known reason why this patient had the stroke, it's a little different than if you have no reason, no idea. So this patient that I talked to you about was 30 when he had his, or I think he was 27 when he had his first stroke. So his workup was really extensive, you know, antibodies and PAI, and looking for why does this patient have a propensity, because this is now his third stroke. When I saw him, it was 3 months after his third stroke. And so why does this patient have a propensity to having stroke symptoms or having strokes, and what's going on in him? So you're looking for any causes that they may have. So you're looking for liver function. You're looking for ceruloplasmin, specifically looking for calcium problems. You're looking for, copper problems. You're looking for what's their ferritin. Do they have hemochromatosis? Is this, you know, like what we were talking about earlier? You're looking for all these. Is there anything that's underlying that might be the reason why this patient has this disease?
Well, let me ask you a question. We know that when women go through menopause, they stop producing adequate amounts of estrogen, testosterone, and other hormones. It's not just all estrogen. There's a lot of women with a lot of body fat that actually have very high estrogen because of aromatization. But we also know that's when they start to develop some vascular issues that can be viewed visibly. We see spider veins. We see blood vessels bursting. This is this. If that's happening on your legs, then there's potential for that to happen in your brain too, right?
Right.
I mean, that should make women go, oh, wait a minute. This isn't like, I don't think I want to have saline shot in these. These are the canaries in the mine that are telling me I need to pay attention to my hormones. Hormones must play a role in the aging effects of the vasculature.
Well, and don't forget about patients who are taking like Prempro or
equine
synthetic hormones. Certainly, we know that there's an increased risk with using hormones that are not bioidentical. There's a risk with that. So obviously, we're looking for, and we know that heart disease is more common in patients who have low testosterone, who have low IGF-1, and so we know that that those things are at play, and so those are also going to be things that we're going to look at. And the panel I probably run. I don't know, 50, this guy had about 80 tests run on him.
Right.
We had to do it in a couple of bouts so that he wouldn't be too low and we wouldn't take too much from him at a time. But
right.
Yeah, he had several episodes. So there's a huge vascular workup. We actually, interestingly, he has had nothing really impressive come back, even with an extensive autoimmune workup. And he's seen rheumatology and hematology, and we still don't have a clear reason why this is happening to this specific patient.
Okay. So he's young. I would imagine that neuroplasticity is still on your side with someone who's younger.
You got it.
So where do you go with, what's the protocol look like?
And this patient is regularly exercising and he eats well in general. And so he came in and we started him with IV cerebrolysin. Of course, that has to be
IV, not injected. So you're actually infusing long term. How many units a minute? How do you measure that? What is the flow like?
So you do it in milliliters, and you do it we do it once a week. You do a test dose to begin with, and then you do a more treatment dose after that. Since he was so far out, I did it once a week because I knew.
Yeah, you had to really give a good push to get things started.
We're 3 months out.
Right.
At this point, we're not going to get a huge, big response like we would have gotten had he come in immediately following the event. You can get some pretty impressive results. I haven't had a patient come in that quickly after, but I do have colleagues who have reported to me that. And they will do daily infusions at the beginning for 5 to 10 days, depending on how the patient responds.
Okay.
And so we'll start with that. And then you would add, and cerebrolysin is a, you probably have talked about this on the show, but the cerebrolysin is a complex of brain nerve growth factors that work to improve the growth of nerves. Again, the positioning of nerves through the brain, oligodendrocytes to begin to lay down myelin so that you're reforming nerves. And so we use cerebrolysin. There's some really great studies in using cerebrolysin for all kinds of things, including stroke, in human trials. And so that's why it's used. Then you have to filter cerebrolysin. It's one of the only peptides you have to filter if you're going to give it that way. And it's also one of the only ones we give IV. We don't give very many of them IV. So
why do you have to filter it?
We also gave TB4, which is, I like to call that the toy box that carries the pieces of train track to the cell to help the cell to be able to lay down, to get nutrients back and forth where it needs to go. So imagine a bomb goes off in a city and you have to get things to that area, or a hurricane is probably easier for us to think of. You have to get things into that city to begin to rebuild. You have to get, and so this is sort of holding the train tracks, pieces of train track to help you. It also has lots of signaling characteristics in the cell to help reroute the cells plant whatever the cell is doing to try to help regenerate. And so so TB4 is the other thing we use. It also has some really good research in stroke patients in the fibrosis that occurs.
And cardiac ischemia reperfusion.
Yes,
as well.
Exactly. Speaking of concept.
I mean, the one study that fascinated me was with the heart was 2 milligrams within 6 hours post ischemia reperfusive event, and there was no evidence that the person had a heart attack. There was no necrotic tissue, heart tissue. And what you said is really interesting, because I've always thought of TB4 as the job superintendent. It gets on the job. It has a blueprint that's going to tell what to work. And it seems to influence what growth factors are produced from growth hormone, like more fibroblast growth factors to improve new nerve or more vascular endothelial growth factors if more blood flow is needed to the area. So I would imagine that stimulating not crazy amounts, but adequate amounts of growth hormone are probably critical to this process too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that, again, people hear me all the time say, I'm the one who says, please make sure that you control the inflammation first. And so TB4 is one of the ways that you do that, is controlling inflammation. Before you begin to send in all the troops to begin doing the cleanup, you've got to control you got to get the inflammation. Before you begin building buildings, you got to control inflammation. And right. So, yeah.
Okay. So, what else would you prescribe for stroke?
So in this guy, we did do, because he was so far out, we did do CJC epimorelin. I did in him, he's pretty thin. So I did a twice a day dose on him because I wanted to be sure he was getting adequate deep sleep. And we know that the growth hormone improves the stage 4 deep sleep. And so we did that. He also is still exercising regularly. So there was benefits for him to have increased musculature which I hope would happen with the CJC epimorelin. And so that was the protocol. He was limited on funds. And because we started with cerebral lysine, we did that, first day when he walked in the door in the office, we did that right away and then sent him home with the CJC and the TB4.
Now, what are we seeing with him as a patient? Are we seeing marked progress?
Yes. So interestingly, he had a lot of left-sided symptoms, weakness in his hand, inability to write, left-handed inability to write. And all of that, he said I just saw him 3 weeks ago, and he said he's 80% better.
Wow.
And that's after 2 months of therapy.
That's amazing. So he could keep
no improvement from the stroke to when he started therapy.
Right. So it's not like as though, well, he was just getting better and you're taking credit for what was happening naturally. He stopped getting better and then you stimulate. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have to think that ARA-290 will be prime mover for this, right?
And you also have to think in the right patient that FGL would be a good choice.
I just started playing with that, FGL. Yeah, I started taking, 300 or 400 micrograms a day of that.
Those patients have probably not at his point so much, but, they have that glutamate toxicity. And so that's why FGL would be so beneficial, probably earlier in the disease, but it might even be helpful as far out as 3 months. And it's especially in those patients who are really struggling with their diagnosis or with their disease, if they're really not doing well or they don't have a great support system. So now we're talking about, this is a patient who has a lot of cortisol running around, their DHEA is coming down. I bet that patient would be a really good FGL. The downside is I'm not sure exactly what dose to use yet.
Yeah. So I read a study, and you may have seen it. Because it was peptide related. I read a study. Well, it really wasn't peptide related. I read a study that showed that ethanol toxicity of the brain, which causes mad inflammation, is completely blunted when you activate the melanocortin 4 receptor.
Right.
Which means, folks, only get really drunk at the beach with a sunny day, because then your brain is protected. And ironically, I just started taking Melanotan 2 again today. So keep watching, folks. I'm going to get darker and darker by next week.
There you go, Fonty.
Yeah, but he was a good-looking guy. Thank you for that.
We would use BBC 157 as well as, and so I would probably choose over melanotan too. I'd probably choose BPC-157 because you get the blood flow increase, the VEGF, two receptor increase like you get with BPC-157.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. That was bad. We have lots of questions piling up, and we're going to get to all of them. So sit tight, everybody. But this one I wanted to throw up here early on. Len Moskowitz says, you know, is this also good for TIA? I would imagine so, right?
So I don't have a study, but I think that it should be. And so what I can tell you from my experience is I use this in patients who I'm expecting might have that problem as a preventive. So I can only imagine it would be helpful in patients who have had a TIA. And I would certainly try it.
So you're not you wouldn't use melanotan 2 at this point in time, given that it suppresses brain inflammation, or you would?
I would definitely use melanotan 2. But if I, given the two choices, I only have one, I might choose the BPC.
Okay. Because I would say small doses of 25 to 35 micrograms usually doesn't elicit nausea or even any tanning. But it's 1,000 times stronger than MSH, melanocortin stimulating hormone that we produce. So that little bit would probably get the job done.
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
KPV is now available.
Yes, there will be a transcript. There's a transcript of every single show. It goes up when the show is posted. I type so fast. Now, I use a transcribing machine, and it takes everything. But it's 95% accurate. There's definitely some inaccuracy. So don't start emailing me and going, hey, you used the wrong word in your transcript. Just be thankful that there's a transcript. How about that? We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, you said there's two different types of stroke, and you actually have one patient that falls into each of the categories, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that next. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you three things today. If you need help with stroke, vinemedical.com. Just go there. Don't start listening to the show and going, oh, I'll just start doing this myself. Can't do it that way. I'm telling you. You won't get the effects you want, and you may actually hurt somebody. Okay, number one. Number two, if you're a physician listening to this and you're thinking, wow, I'd like to offer this too, peptidesociety.org is the place to go. IPS will train you and certify you. You will have to put some time in because this is a lot to learn. This is medicine. But you will be able to prescribe and monitor your patients using peptides, just like Dr. Turner does. And then lastly, where do I get my peptides once I start prescribing them? Oh, that's called TaylorMade Pharmacy, right here in my home state of Kentucky, in Nicholasville, Kentucky. You can get all these peptides we're talking about, and they do not use recombinant technology, which is basically where you feed E. coli certain amino acids and it poops out strands, and you go, oh, that's growth hormone. They actually use amino acid sequencers. These are machines that assemble the peptides. It's a much better process for your patients. So those are the three things you need to know. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Turner. Stay tuned. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon. Redcon One is one of the fastest growing supplement companies in the world today. That's because they produce supplements that deliver on their promises. From their flagship pre-workout Total War to their innovative whole food MREs and bars. Now you can get the deepest discount ever offered to any audience anywhere. Use code SHR and get 25% off all Redcon One products today. SHR and 25% off. Go to redcon1.com. That's REDCON, the number 1.com.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive. productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and have type 2 diabetes, $500,000 of term insurance should only cost about $100 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-352-9239. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. If you want affordable term life for you, call Big Lou at 800-352-9239. Lou is one of you, and will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call Term Provider at 800-352-9239. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Call Term Provider, speak with Big Lou, and save on term life. Call 800-352-9239. 800-352-9239.
You've heard about blood flow restricted training since 2006 on SHR, but you're still on the fence. Well, here's the push. BFR is more effective at building muscle than anabolic steroids. That's right, I went there. But it's because it's the truth. My experience with the B-Strong blood flow restriction system is proof to me. And now I'm asking myself why I waited so long. You'll see undeniable changes in the targeted muscles in days and weeks like nothing you've ever tried before. I will never stop using them. Give B-Strong a try. Go to bstrong.training/super-human and use code SHR for 10% off.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Susan Turner from VineMedical.com. That's where you need to go to get help. I got to say something to the guys out there. You know, I'm 61. I'll be 62 this year, and I'm going to die. I already know. I've never thought about it before, but now I realize I'm going to die eventually. And if you don't have life insurance to help your family continue on, you're really being a selfish SOB. And these guys are great that I'm working with. The 800-352-9239, they got the funniest commercials about life insurance, but they are the easiest guys to do business with. You do it over the phone. If you get Shane, he's a great guy. He's the guy who worked with me. They send the girl out to your house. They draw blood. They give you an EKG. They're out of there. Everything moves fast, fast, fast. Boom, and you're covered. And some people go, oh, I don't want to buy life insurance. I'm betting against my own life. Dude, you're going to die. Just like the casinos in Las Vegas are going to win. It's no mystery. You know what I mean? So get yourself some life insurance. And by the way, I'm still wearing my B-Strong bands after training back this morning. I probably shouldn't have trained back after all the red blood cells I gave away yesterday. But, you know, I've never been very smart. So there you go. Anyway, so there are two different types of strokes. The first one is ischemia reperfusion, right?
Yes.
And then the other one is, what is it called?
Hemorrhagic.
Okay. So what's the difference? And you also have a patient that falls into the other category, right?
Sort of, yes. Okay. So the hemorrhagic stroke usually is because of prolonged high blood pressure. And what we really think is it's because of rapid rise in blood pressure. Maybe prolonged exposure to high blood pressure causes those vessel walls to weaken. And so then they're more susceptible to a high, quick rise in blood pressure. So it's less because of the 140 more than it is because of the sudden rise from 140 to 200. Right. And so this vessel that's already a little fragile, you know, can't handle it and ruptures.
Okay.
This particular patient, the problem was that he had a traumatic brain injury and had a bleed. So similar to a bleeding stroke, he had, you know, injury to the tissues because of the rupture of blood vessels.
Okay. And so did you treat this individual pretty much the same way, or do you go about it slightly different?
So this one was a couple years out from his event. It was actually a car wreck, and he was in his 80s. So this is a different patient altogether from the original one. And so we knew already that he had very mild cognitive impairment to begin before the event. And then following the event, he had was somnolent, wasn't even communicating with his family, was very quiet, was not really engaged. Before the event, he was doing his own finances, online things, taking care of the checkbook. But he, after the event, couldn't do any of that himself, couldn't shop for himself, manage his medications, became very caregiver dependent. And so in coming into contact with me through with peptides, we started to treat him, and we started him also with cerebrolysin. We also did IV with him, but our next treatment, he actually got a great response to the first IV, and then really great response, I mean, was awake, was interacting with his family and communicating well. And the second time we gave it to him, he didn't have any response that was obvious to the family. And so we decided to change course and put him on topical Dihexa. And Dihexa is fascinating, I think, because
I love it. I love it.
It's really, have you used it?
I have 25 milligrams on my neck, and I rubbed it on the side of the neck close to the jugglers and the carotid and all that sort of stuff, so I'd get more of it, I thought. Literally, you feel like you feel better. You feel awake. You feel just brighter. Mm. You know, it's very good stuff.
This, I've only used it, I used it for about a week, and I did on my forearms, and I didn't have any event, so I need to try it on my neck next time. I had a patient who came in who needed it, so I said, I'll just give you mine.
Yeah, that was nice of you. Yeah. So did that help him? Did the Dihexa help him?
Yes. And so this patient now, and it's sort of helped him, yes, in a great way, but not in a great way for his family, kind of. So he started the Dihexa and got to be so cognitively intact that he started going back and doing his own finances again, looking at the books, seeing what was going on. And then he said, oh my gosh, what are we spending all this money? Who is TaylorMade?
That's funny. Yeah.
And so he's now very irritable. And you know how patients with mild cognitive impairment have a tendency to be a little
agitated, easily agitated. My dad got that. In fact, my father even got that phenomenon called sundowners, where at night they just become so agitated.
Right. Yeah. And this guy in particular he decided to fixate on the fact of how expensive the peptides were, despite the fact that he is, you know, weeks before was unable to do this. And now he is able to, wasn't putting it all together, but still was able to see that there was a problem with his finances that were, you know, so this is our debate now is, do we take him off the Dihexa or do we keep him on it and push through the aggravation? He also did a trial. I'm sorry. Before we did Dihexa, we did C-Lank on him.
Oh yeah.
And he did not tolerate the nasal spray. It gave him nightmares. So we switched him over to the sub-Q injections, and he did get some maintenance of that initial response to cerebrolysin from that, but then just wasn't quite getting as much as we were hoping for. So we added the Dihexa after that.
See, this reminds me of something I want to say earlier too. So in my experience, and I have anybody listening to the show, I don't have any accreditation, so you can't take anything away from me. I can say anything outlandish I want. In my experience, when people tell me they've taken melatonin and they get nightmares, it's evidence of two things that are happening, in my humble opinion. And I would ask you for your opinion. Number one, they're actually experiencing REM sleep again, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they're probably mildly insulin insensitive. And they're having – so I'm of the thought – that 90% of nightmares are the result of fluctuations in blood sugar, because your brain doesn't have a brain. So the brain of your brain can't go, oh, big brain, the only reason why you're getting worried is because blood sugar is dropping. There really is no emergency. That's because we have to affix symbolism and meaning to everything. That's what humans do. So in the dream, you're thinking, oh my God, you know, my ex-wife is taking me back to court for alimony again. And then you wake up and you realize, oh, I had a bad dream, because your brain got panicked, blood sugar dropped. And as a result of that, it formulates and attaches thoughts to the fear feeling so that you have a reason to feel afraid. But your brain just wants you to wake up so that it'll liberate some blood sugar and it'll feel happy again. And this also happens in people who start taking growth hormone secretagogues before bed in a small number of people. They'll say, oh, my sleep got worse instead of got better. Here's the magic answer, everybody. 3 to 5 grams of glycine before bed.
Mm.
I promise you, if you're one of those people who wakes up at 2 a.m. in the morning for whatever reason with nightmares and you don't know why you're waking up like this, 3 to 5 grams of glycine before bed. Glycine is non-nutritive. It's sweet. It's a highly glucogenic amino acid. It can go through the liver and become glucose without having to wake the adrenals up. It will give you stable blood sugar levels for 6 to 8 hours at night. So when you take your shot before bed that wrecks your sleep, take glycine with it. And people who are taking things that all of a sudden we know that they're starting to REM sleep again and they go, oh, I have horrible nightmares. I can't take this anymore. Just get them to try glycine one or two nights along with it and see if they go, oh, yeah, I didn't have any nightmares last night.
Right. And we know that you can decrease the dose of melatonin for it to be effective for to get rid of those. But I think you're saying a really good point about probably stimulating REM sleep that they're not used to getting. We use that glycine for hot flashes for our menopausal women who are unable to take hormones or unwilling to take hormones for whatever reason. We use it for hot flashes. So, because we know insulin related.
Yes, because women get hot flashes because this is the onset of hypoglycemia. The first thing you do is get an anxiety attack. Then you start to sweat and shake. And then if it gets really bad, you pass out. But they usually just get into those two zones before the body starts to catch up. And it has a lot to do with estrogen and progesterone. Glycine, I could see. I never thought about it. Glycine works for them as well. That's amazing. That's fantastic. Great. Look at the things you people are learning right now. Oh, my God. So the old guy now is trying to debate whether or not to spend the money so that he can be cognizant of his life, or maybe it's just not worth being in the know anymore. I'm going back to carefree. Is that where he is?
Well, what's interesting is I told her what I think is interesting about Dihexa is it tends to wear off pretty quickly. A couple patients I have on it that are doing well are continuing to take it. And if they miss it, for example, TaylorMade occasionally can't get, you know, the batch isn't safe enough, so they scrap it and they have to do another one. And so they'll not be able to get it to the patient in time. And so they'll miss a couple of days. They notice a big drop off in symptom improvement when they stop taking it. And so they'll notice. So I told, this is a patient of my nurse practitioner, actually. So they told the family to stop using it for a few days to see if the symptoms, you know, if it gets worse, because then you'll know, is the drug the cause of the irritability, or is the irritability because he's more cognizant?
Yeah. He may just be angry because old dudes get angry. We all do. We don't want to die. We're pissed off. Like, how's
well,
anyone?
You want to be able to take care of your family. I mean, that you want to be able to provide for your family. And so if you're that age and you realize that you have this big stroke thing that happened, it was a traumatic brain injury, but that happened, you want, the first thing he does is go to look at his finances so he can be sure he has the ability to continue to take care of his family. Sure. And now his first concern is, can I still do that? And so that's what's happen.
Do you use any non-peptides? Like when my mom had a stroke, I gave her creatine monohydrate every single day because I had found a really good study that showed it helped resolve stroke faster. Anything else you use?
I use ketones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really try to get them to stop using sugar.
Yes, because here's the interesting thing about ketones, right? Glucose is everything we put in our body has a level of toxicity. Everything we eat. And sugar tends to be the most inflammatory of all the things we can eat. But ketones are not. And so by getting their brain to use ketones instead of sugar, you have a lot less friction. Let's call it friction in the brain. And they become more cognizant. They become more alert. They feel better and mood changes and everything. I think that's brilliant. I didn't think of that. That's a great one. That's a great one.
And of course, the simple thing you can do is Alka-Seltzer Gold twice a day before meals. You know, it's the change in pH from alkaline to acid stimulates the vagus nerve and causes those inflammatory macrophages, the M2 macrophages, to convert into that very calm janitor cleanup type.
Interesting. So you are having success with these people. I'm sure that more people will want to reach out to you and work with you as a result of the show. I want to take our last commercial break, and then we're going to answer questions. We've got a bunch of questions that have piled up, and I didn't miss them, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more, and we'll get to your questions. Stay tuned.
Thank you. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Growing older. Sadly, for many, it can mean losing your independence and trading your home with a lifetime of memories for a bed in a lonely nursing home. But now there's Rejuvent, the science to resist aging. Each of us has two ages, a physical age and a biological one. We can't slow our physical age, but thanks to our breakthrough in longevity research, you can now take control of your biological age with Rejuvent Life Tabs, powered by Life AKG. Life AKG is critical for powering cellular energy, supporting detoxification, preserving DNA integrity, and lowering sources of oxidative stress. And that can mean more vitality and stamina in the years to come. Backed by over 20 years of research, Rejuvent is the science you need to resist aging. Rejuvent Life Tabs. It's about life, it's about health, it's about time.
Hey, this is Carl. To learn more and save 10% off, go to GetRejuvent.com. That's get RejuvenT.com. Use the code SHR and get 10% off your first order. Check it out. Hey, this is Carl. For 14 years, you've heard me talk about Can-See eye drops, and they being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at now 61 years old. But I regularly get emails and messages from people who've been using Can-See and having some amazing results. Recently, I got an email from a fellow named Chad, who because he was on dexamethasone eye drops for over 6 months, developed a cataract. Can-See eye drops actually reduced my cataract to the point where even my doctor has a hard time finding it. I will never stop using Can-See eye drops twice a day. I've been using them since 2008, he says. And you should be too. There is no better way to keep your eyes healthy and seeing clearly than Can-See eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com today and get on board, and we will both be looking into the future with very clear vision. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon. Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do those with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today. You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety, or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to DrSeeds.com. That's DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Suzanne Turner from VineMedical.com. You can reach out to her if you have questions about this type of treatment for someone you know, someone you love, maybe for yourself. So let's start at the top. We're going to start with the oldest questions first. So Danny Geraldo Oquendo, who listens and watches the show from Colombia, was asking about freezing, reconstituting peptides and then freezing them and then unfreezing them. Could it damage the peptide? I have an opinion. What's your opinion?
I think it does. I think you can freeze the, when they're still in the powder form, you can freeze them. But I think once they reconstitute, you got to keep them in the refrigerator.
Because what freezing them does is it literally causes the solution that they are solved with to crystallize. And those crystals are encase a long peptide and crack it. So now you have fragments of what was originally in there. It's not a good idea. Not a good idea. Now, I can also tell you that the rumors about back in the day, 20 years ago, when I first started using growth hormone, they were like, oh, you got to let the solution go in so slow. Just swirl it. Don't shake it. And I remember one day I dropped a vial on the floor and I thought, oh, great. I just ruined that whole vial of growth hormone. That's not true. These peptides have strength, certain types of bonds, but they're not so fragile. And they also have much longer shelf lives than most people think. There are some, like thymosin alpha 1, that really does go bad very quickly. But look at melanotin 2. I had a vial of melanotin 2 in my refrigerator for a year, and it still made me tan and nauseous when I used it. So I think we're still learning about the durability of these peptides.
But of course, the pharmacies have to put that best use date on there because they only test it out for that long.
Yes, and that's an important thing. So Josh Bruner says, how would you recommend to do a basic artery flush? Recommend anything that may help clear out or cleanse, especially if someone has had past blood clots and calcium buildup. I don't think an artery flush is what you want to do.
Right. I think that's a lifestyle thing. I think that's a increase your resistance training. Change your diet, getting rid of trash, getting rid of sugar and potentially gluten, dairy, maybe depending on how your body responds to it. There's some research done by the company that makes it from Kyolic aged garlic extract.
Yeah, I like it.
But the research is done by the company, so it hasn't been my experience that it's been helpful for that, but there's some research out there about it. There's some research about K2MK7. You know, I'm not sure if you actually have that, but that's the way to go. There are certainly some providers out there that are doing things like, it's a fat transfer. I'm sorry, I forget the exact term right now. The fat transfer, not stem cell fat transfer, but they're, plasmapheresis kind of thing. Again, there's not a whole lot out there to support that. It's certainly an option. There's phosphatidylcholine is available by injection, by IV. But again, you have to have a provider who knows what they're doing. And yeah.
And if you're worried about plaque, get out in the sun a lot because, again, the melanocortin system has been shown to reduce intimal inflammation. And plaque is actually reabsorbed. There's a blog post of mine from like 4 or 5 years ago about a study that showed that in rodents that were given melanotan 2. So clearly the sun would do the same thing. Ben Turner Dixon says, hello. My 72-year-old uncle recently suffered a hemorrhagic, boy, I'm doing good today, stroke in mid-January, his first. His lesion was unusual and large. At 5x7x3.5 centimeters. Any specific recommendations in addition to the rest of the podcast are greatly appreciated. And thank you for all you do and sharing valuable insights.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that. Obviously, he requires a team. And these patients do require a team because he's going to need physical therapy. He's going to need people who are going to help get him active and moving. I don't know what kind of things he's had done so far, but he certainly is going to need a team of people to help him get things going. All the things I mentioned are things that I would encourage you to find a physician who is trained to do what I do and what others like me do, or get your doctor to go to, you know, the IPS things and go to the peptide fellowship.
That's really the best thing. Or find a doctor that's already in there or reach out to Vine Medical.
I'm sorry about that. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's sad. So Josh also wants to know, if glycine is taken by itself, does it have the same effect? Not only does it have the same effect, but there are people who use it instead of beta blockers that have social anxiety. They'll take 3 grams of glycine, you put it in the buckle between the cheek and the gum, you just let it dissolve, and you feel all of your stress just go away. So it's really an amazing amino acid. I wrote a blog post about it because the thing that ages us from high-protein diets is high methionine, and glycine blunts the aging effects of methionine. So I actually use glycine. Glycine is a sweetener in Thrive Protein that I designed. But I use glycine every morning in my coffee. I use it in my cream of rice. I sweeten everything. I probably get a good 30 or 40 grams of glycine a day because it is so important. That's my humble opinion. What do you think?
Yes, especially because you're, you know, like me, eating a high-protein diet.
Yeah, glycine is good stuff. And that's where the magic is in bone broth, folks. Collagen and bone broth, 30% glycine by weight. So think about that. What about DSIP to help sleeping?
Absolutely. And there's actually some interesting cardiac research with DSIP, helping patients with that. But the deep sleep inducing peptide, the nice thing about that is it does increase deep sleep. And so that's the time when the brain does most of its cleanup. We call it autophagy. It's the actual lymphatic system of the brain opens up during deep sleep and is able to take out the trash, so to speak. So using DSIP for short, it's a little tricky to use because you have to take it a couple hours before bed. In fact, I have one patient who has to use it at 8 a.m. to help her sleep at night. It
really
doesn't exactly work to make you fall asleep like Ambien or melatonin or those sort of things do.
That's interesting because I did not respond well to DSIP. I felt like it ruined my sleep. Maybe I need to take it earlier in the day.
8 o'clock, yep.
Dr. Steve Bieto, who is a brilliant surgeon in Texas, who's the guy who created the blueprint for what needed to be done to my foot the second time.
All right.
So, yeah, great info today, as usual. Thank you very much, Dr. Steve. I will go hunting with you soon, I promise. We have pigs here. I'm going to go hunting here for pigs in a couple of weeks. I want to get myself – I'm actually trying to work a deal out. If Josh is listening to this from Volare Restaurant, if I shoot a pig, will you serve it at Volare? There you go. The next question, back again from Ben Turner. He's still talking about his uncle. He was a lifelong fitness enthusiast and gymnast, also a career pilot with American Airlines. Has lost a good deal of muscle in recent years, but still in great shape compared to the average guy his age.
Yeah, he has the best chance of outcome because of that lifestyle change. Absolutely. He has the best chance of outcome. And all of these things are available. He probably would do the best with a little bit of growth hormone secretagogue.
Impamorelin and CJC without DAC or modified growth factor 1 through 29. Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
If he's a little bit sarcopenic, that tesamorelin can really help that too. Maybe just a short course.
What about giving older guys testosterone in their 70s?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And so, if this patient has a low testosterone, that's certainly something you can do. We don't know what the right range is for those patients, what the right range of normal is for those patients. And if we had a 25-year-old testosterone level, we might be able to give them some kind of information. But we sort of guess at that point and listen to their symptoms. I have patients who respond to tiny, tiny little doses of testosterone, and they'll have some benefit from. So it's probably worth doing. I typically do shots, and I do them frequently, like tiny doses frequently, rather than doing them.
Like the long-acting Nabido, which is undecoinate, which you do it once every 6 months. That's like a pellet. That's the same problem with the pellet. Those long-term.
And pellets have their place. Certainly, I have patients who travel. I have patients who live away from me. It's easier for them to do a 3 or 4 month thing. They certainly have their place, but the patient, my patients do well when they, and it also gives them a little more control because I don't need such a high dose on a day when I'm not doing anything complicated. This week, because I knew I had this podcast today, I took a little extra testosterone.
There you go. That's brilliant. Oh, I love it. I love it. Ben Turner Dixon, thank you. Share the show. We need more people to hear these shows. And it's not because of my advertisers. It's because we could actually, we could literally, I know people say this, oh, I want to change the world. I never started this show because I wanted to change the world. I was really angry at the way the medical system worked for average people. I was angry, and I'm still friggin' angry, the truth of the matter is. But, you know, if we can get more people to listen to these shows, we could have people that have much better outcomes because we have to take responsibility for our own health. You can't just walk into any doctor and say, what do I do, doc? You better know what is viable and what is not.
And it's the tough part is you have to do your own research, but you also have to know who you're going to. You have to do your own research about the physician that you're seeing so that you know what are they providing, what do they offer, what's their ability. I think finding someone who at least has an open mind, you know, 12 years ago when all this started for me, the pursuit of this kind of thing started for me, I was just open-minded, period. My patients came to me and said, hey, I need so-and-so. And I said, okay, let's do some research and see if that would be a viable option. And so I was just open-minded to hear about it and consider it as an option. Yeah. So here I am years later, fellowship trained and talking to Carl.
You know, being a perpetual student is the most important thing today when it comes to information. You can't dig your heels in and defend your position because your position may have changed and it may be wrong. But being open to learning something new is probably the most important thing for survival today. Because
right, I remember my professor.
Yeah, because the terrain changes. Yeah. The circumstances change. You have to be able to change with them. Mm-hmm. Do we miss anything today, Dr. Turner?
Not that I can think of. Thanks so much, Carl.
Oh, it was great having you. It's great having you. And hopefully we'll see you at an upcoming event, maybe at IPS or something like that. And to all of you, today is Friday. I'm done. We have a great show Monday. Dr. Gabrielle Lyons is coming on the show. As many of you remember, I used to do a series called Muscle Saves Lives, where circumstances and events occurred in people's lives that clearly the accumulation and maintenance of muscle saved them. Well, we have a doctor that specializes just in that area, and we're going to be talking to her on Monday to talk about the fact that muscle really does save lives. So get into the gym and make a deposit today. So there you go. All right, see you later, Dr. Turner. See everybody Monday. Thanks for watching and listening today.
Thanks, Carl.